It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
We've got action from the NFL owners meetings. Very Buffalo Bills-centric action to talk about with
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. As always, go with his time.
Join us in the sports bar, buddy. It's good to have you on. Benford getting signed, James Cook not getting an extension, and all this... all this nonsense with the tush push and Sean McDermott. Good to have you on with us. And let's start with McDermott, because it feels like when pressed by the national media on, you know, his thoughts on this play, he comes off a little bit hypocritical and a little bit almost, I dare say, out of his league, talking about data that really doesn't exist and postures and all kinds of things. How do you think Sean McDermott came off here when being pressed about this proposed rule change?
Yeah, you know, he talked about the fact that the safety element of it, but he acknowledged, like you said, there's really no data to support that right now. And when you really think about it, any play, injury can take place, first and foremost. But second, this is not like a high-speed collision. This is essentially a quarterback sneak where you're getting pushed from behind to get those additional few yards. It's not the most dangerous play to me, in my opinion. That being said, we've seen the Bills get stuck with this a few times. We saw how it worked out for them in the AFC title game. They really did struggle in short situations when they tried their own version of the tush push or the QB sneak with a little bit of extra support. So maybe, too, McDermott's sitting there saying maybe it's run its course for the Bills, whereas, you know, it seems like the Eagles are the only team that's truly running it with a high level of success in those meaningful moments.
We do have news this weekend, something that kind of dropped out of the sky, and you and Matt kind of did write a podcast almost on the spot there. Christian Benford signing with Buffalo, the extension. He will not be a free agent. And Ryan, I think we're all kind of applauding this move. Just what does this mean for the Bills, you know, coming down the road here?
Yeah, it means the Bills have their number one cornerback locked up. And I say number one because he's played like it the last year and a half or two. But that isn't going to stop the Bills from going out and drafting another cornerback high in this draft class, first or second round, potentially, to be that 1B to Benford's 1A. But it's great news for the Bills for a few reasons. One, you have him locked in on average at $19 million per season, which when you look at the going rate of these high-end cornerbacks, that's already coming in below market. He's about the 13th highest paid cornerback after this new deal in terms of, you know, the average salary per year. We've seen J.C. Horn sign a $25 million deal. You saw the kid out of the Houston Texans sign a $30 million deal. You know that Sauce Gardner is going to probably eclipse the $30 million total. And you get Benford, who was unbelievable this past season in terms of the yards allowed per play, coming in at 19. So it's a great deal for the Bills. It addresses a major need in terms of that top-end talent. Now, obviously, you need to supplement that with some more picks in this draft to really find that number two cornerback option. Have someone that you can, you know, right now push Dane Jackson for the job. And I still think maybe you can add a veteran or two as well post-draft.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, there are a couple of familiar names that are still free agents out there, if I'm not mistaken, that the Bills have, you know, potentially available to them in Rasul Douglas and Trey White. Do you see either of those guys as options here? Or is it safe to assume that if they do use a high-round draft pick on a corner, that that guy will be competing with Dane Jackson for a starting role come 2025?
Yeah, I think if they take a guy high, they're going to compete for the starting job, whether it's against Dane Jackson or one of those veterans that you mentioned. You know, yesterday, Brandon Bean said they have not shut the door on Rasul Douglas. I think when Douglas first hit free agency, I think there's probably a gap between what he was looking for and what the Bills were offering. And now, though, the longer you sit on this market, I think before long, your number has to come down if you want to sign with the team pre-draft or even just shortly after the draft based on a team that maybe misses out on a corner. But the fact that he's still sitting out there tells you that teams are a little skeptical based on his film and tape from 2024. He did not have the best season, especially after the way he looked coming in by the trade deadline in 2023 and kind of played lights out, created turnovers, made some big plays that just wasn't there for the Bills and for Rasul Douglas last season. Trey White, I'm not ready to say that he's this a vet minimum type of contract type of player, but I don't think it's too far off from that. So if you want to bring him in for depth, by all means do so. I just don't know what is left in the tank there. And I'll even throw in a third name of former Bills, Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
Older than Trey White, but played at a high level last year in Minnesota. We know how it ended the first time in Buffalo. He left because he wanted to play in national games on TV. Well, this Bills team's a lot different than the one he left, so if he wants a final swan song with the team that drafted him in the first round, that's another potential option.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, the Shout podcast as well, our guest here in the sports bar. Brandon Bean also commenting on, all right, the one guy who's due to become a free agent after next season, running back James Cook, and how for now his Bean's focus is on the draft, and it doesn't sound like anything is imminent here. And Ryan, I think it's an interesting story because, quite honestly, I don't know how this is going to play out. What do you think are the more likely scenarios here? What's your view on this situation?
Well, my view is that as soon as he went public with the contract demands, the gap between the two sides probably never closed because he doubled down on that $15 million number a few times on social media where the Bills probably were not approaching that or maybe reaching that total. They might be at 10, 11, 12, who knows, but there's that a couple million dollar gap there. So now that we sit here, Brandon Bean has pretty much said our focus is on the draft, and I truly believe that. I think that you're going to see James Cook come in here and play out the final year of his rookie deal. Could the Bills negotiate something in season? Absolutely, it's possible. We don't see that a ton, though, from this team. I think they're willing to let him play it out, and if he has a monster year, they're going to let him test free agency in the market. I don't necessarily think that they would use the franchise tag. It could be appealing if he is having an unbelievable year, but it's not something we've seen Brandon Bean in this Bills front office do much, if at all, in their tenure. So I just think that he's the way that his stance went, going public with it and not maybe budging off of that number, the Bills are going to let him play it out and let the chips fall where they may. In terms of the draft, I don't think they're going to necessarily go out and draft a running back high because you still do have Cook on the final year of his rookie deal. You just brought back Ty Johnson. They drafted Ray Davis a year ago. There's your top three right there. You have some other options on this roster as is for depth. Now, in the 2026 draft, maybe they have to replace James Cook. That's very well possible.
Ryan, what about another scenario? I mean, there's so many different ways that this could play out. We were speculating earlier, like, would James Cook hold out? Would he not show up to off-season work? Would he get fined by the team because he's upset at the team? I mean, Brandon Bean hasn't really had to deal with anything like this, short of maybe Jordan Poyer missing the first day of training camp a couple of years ago. What about the option of trading James Cook as we get to the NFL draft and replacing him with Kenneth Davis, Ty Johnson, and a rookie that you end up drafting because it's a deep running back class?
Well, I mean, it's possible the trade route. It's just I don't know what you're going to get in a trade for James Cook. And then you're sitting there saying, okay, if we got an early day three pick for James Cook, because I don't think you're going to be able to get a second round pick for someone on the final year of a rookie deal, despite how good he was. I'm not even sure about a third. Is that worth trading him away, who your best weapon, not named Josh Allen on offense, for the uncertainty of a rookie? It's possible, but I don't necessarily see it playing out that way. And then for the holdout, you know, he's projected to make only about $5 million this year, so the holdout wouldn't last very long based on the fine system that the league has. So he could try to make, you know, his stance known, holding out for a very short period of time, but it wouldn't last very long.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here in the sports bar. Ryan, since we last spoke, we have the New England Patriots bringing in a familiar face, and well, I guess they also brought in Mac Hollins, but talking about Steph Diggs going to New England, and funny how just like basically one calendar year, you have him going from Buffalo to Houston, now to New England. How much do you think that will help the Patriots? Is the gap closing between Buffalo and New England?
Not really. I think the gap for second place in the division might be widening between the Patriots and then the Jets and the Dolphins. I do like a lot of what the Patriots have done, even if they've had to overspend on a few players and positions. I just don't think they're a threat to the Bills just yet. And the Stephon Diggs addition really doesn't move the bar for me whatsoever. This is someone coming off of a serious injury. I know he said he's ahead of schedule. I remember Von Miller saying the same thing a few years ago. And then you saw that he really wasn't productive. Different role, different weights, different, you know, asks of what you need to do. But he still needs to be able to cut at the wide receiver position and run those routes. I don't know when he's going to get on the field and look like the Stephon Diggs that we've come to know. It might not be until late in the season. So, you know, the one thing I will say is kudos to him and his agent for getting a deal, which in my opinion is essentially a one-year, $26 million, because that's the amount of guarantees that are in the deal, contract from the Patriots after suffering that injury with Houston and knowing that he's getting up there in age. I think that they did a great job of finding a team that was going to give him a good chunk of change, because I'm not sure you're ever going to see year two or year three of that deal come to fruition in New England.
Ryan, it's the last day of March. The calendar is going to flip tomorrow, and our gaze will look to the sunset, the horizon of the NFL draft at the end of the month, and we talked about it. Well, what will the Bills do? We know that there's holes at corner. We know that defensive line feels to be like an area of need as well. And we know that, you know, you and others like you are doing a lot of draft prep, looking at a lot of mocks, doing your own mock drafts. How do you see this all shaking out with the Bills at 30?
Yeah, it's obviously going to be best player available, but it wouldn't shock me or surprise me if that best player available is a defensive tackle, edge rusher, or cornerback, which, you know, are three of Buffalo's biggest needs right now, especially when you look at the suspensions to Hoyt, who's going to be a big contributor off the edge, and Ogunjobi to a much lesser extent because he's more of a three tech behind Ed Oliver and in the mix with Dwayne Carter, but you still need that one tech opposite Ed Oliver. Daquan Jones has kind of fallen off. He's looking his age in terms of the way he's playing. So when you're sitting there at pick 30, Kenneth Grant would be appealing. Harmon out of Oregon, if he's sitting there, is certainly worthwhile. There's some undersized players too. It's not a surprise that some of the draft prospects that have been vocal about talking to Buffalo are on that D-line. Landon Jackson, a round two type of player, says that he's talked to the Bills about eight times in the draft process. Joshua Farmer says that he talks to the Bills every day. There are guys that they clearly like and could perhaps add on day two of that draft, but there's going to be guys at 30 that I think they could fall in love with as well if the right player falls. Cornerback's not as deep or as plentiful, but if the right player is there or available at 30 or just before, it would not shock me if the Bills got a little bit aggressive and traded up for their guy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Did the Bills do enough at the wide receiver position? Josh Palmer signed. You've got Laviska Shenault to, you know, maybe he shows something at camp. Where I'm going with this, Ryan, is what's the possibility that, hey, there's actually a receiver at 30 or somewhere within striking distance? You know, you've got the speed of those two guys from Texas, for example, here. Do you see the Bills investing at the wide receiver position in this draft?
I do. I could see it with one of their second-round picks or one of their early picks on day three of the draft in the fourth round, since they don't have a third-round pick right now, or they could even trade into the third round with all the ammunition that they have. I'm not sold on pick 30, though. That's the one spot where I'm sitting there saying I don't necessarily think that they're going to go with a wide receiver. I think Golden will be off the board at that point. He's one name that people thought maybe could fall in that first round, but his stock's been soaring. Isaiah Bond, the Pro Football Focus guys, have a podcast, and they were talking today about red flags off the field and comparing his red flags, that being Isaiah Bond, to Jermaine Burton of Cincinnati's. And, you know, Burton was talent-wise listed as one of the best receivers in this draft class, and he had a disastrous season in Cincinnati, a lot of off-the-field issues there. Wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't even make their roster in year two despite his talent. So the red flag part worries me, so I don't see the Bills necessarily being in on Bond at 30. if he falls far enough in the draft, who knows there. But there are players. There's a Kyle Williams in this draft that I absolutely love his skill set and his game. His stock is starting to soar a little bit, so he could be a round two type of player. Jalen Royals is a player that I really like, too. Day two pick. And then there's going to be guys on, you know, day three. Ty Felton projects more of a slot player, but he has deep speed if that's what they're looking for. So I do expect them, though, to add or address the wide receiver position. I don't necessarily think it's at pick 30, though. I think that they feel like with the talent that they've added and that what they have, they're going to be more than okay to get by. Because Josh Allen proved last year with that everyone eats mentality that guys are going to step up in meaningful moments, and you're going to get a bigger contribution this year from Dalton Kincaid as long as he's healthy.
Ryan, amongst all of the offseason flurry that the Bills have given us, Matt Milano getting the restructure and being able to test free agency after this upcoming year. And I'm bringing it up because you're in the blast zone closer than we are being in the backyard of UB. Sean Dolak is a name that I think a lot of people in Buffalo are talking about. Is that a name that Bills fans and that Sean McDermott is paying attention to? Because we kind of know that he has a type. We kind of know he likes those homegrown talent as well to bring into Buffalo. What are your thoughts on the linebacker out of UB?
Yeah, love his game. Obviously, was highly productive at UB. Didn't get invited to any of the postseason bowl games, which was just absolutely stunning. The Senior Bowl came out and said he didn't quite meet their threshold of what they're looking for, which, you know, right or wrong, I at least respect the fact that they addressed it. There's so many other games out there, East-West Shrine Game, Hula Bowl, and the list goes on. And the fact that none of them even invited Dolak out is a bit embarrassing to those games and the fact that they didn't invite him whatsoever. He comes out at his pro day and you know his size. You know he's a little undersized, but that has never deterred the Bills in terms of the linebacker position. They don't look for a certain height or a certain weight. Can you play ball? And Sean Dolak can play ball. He's shown that. He tested extremely well. His relative athletic score came in over a 9 out of 10. Every linebacker that Sean McDermott has pretty much drafted in his tenure here with the Bills has been in the high eights to the low nine range. Dolak fits that criteria. Round five of this draft, it would not surprise me whatsoever if the Bills used a pick on Sean Dolak.
Question that's a little off topic, I guess, but I'll ask it to you, Ryan, then maybe ask for Danger's input, because we have Pete Guelli also, who is the CEO of the Bills and the Sabres, for that matter, and giving kind of a an update on the stadium. The one good thing about the stadium, it seems like everything is either on schedule or ahead of schedule, like 50% done, to the point where, all right, what does this look like? And we learned some timeline things here today. Learned that, all right, well, the Bills stadium in March of the following year that they open will be knocked down, the current one, Highmark. We also learned that ideally you like to open up not with a Bills preseason game, but with some sort of event, whether that's a concert or something else. And do you have kind of a pick there? Have you thought about it? For example, Danger, did you know this? Silver Stadium to Frontier Field for the Rochester Red Wings, they opened up with a concert. The Beach Boys.
At Frontier Field?
At Frontier Field.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, at that time, were they still relevant? Yeah, you'd need something bigger than the Beach Boys, I would say.
Yes, the Beach Boys are doing free concerts at the Seneca Allegheny Casino every year, so definitely need a little bit higher than the Beach Boys at this point in time. Maybe if they bring out John Stamos with them, No. I think the Beach Boys are out for sure. You know, I pitched something outside of the box. My son's a huge wrestling fan. I grew up a huge wrestling fan. WWE, like Money in the Bank or something like that, that always runs in July. That would be a kind of a cool way to open up a stadium, get a ton of eyes on it because it's broadcast on all these, you know, their pay-per-view format or on their apps, whether it's Peacock or Netflix, whatever they're doing that year. You get so many outside eyes on it, and then you're going to get thousands of people in to actually check out this stadium ahead of time, too. A concert's probably the safe play, probably what the Bills will end up doing, but I thought that would be kind of an interesting way to go about it.
You know what? I was ready to pitch the idea of a concert, big superstar, whoever might be on tour, the flavor of the month. But your idea actually makes more sense if you're the Bills organization and you're able to get money and also showcase this new venue to a wider audience. I kind of like the idea of opening it with a WWE event. Well, I think that's awesome.
Well, I'd ask both of you guys. You think the NFL would want to, hey, the first time, come on in, everybody, and the eyeballs won't be on a TV partner? Ryan, I don't know. Is that a TV partner when that's going to be aired, or is that a pay-per-view event?
It would be streamed right now as long as everything stays the same on Peacock Network, which is an NBC affiliate. So, you know, the league obviously has Sunday Night Football there. They could come up with some kind of way to make that work, make both sides happy. I do get that point, though, and the pushback in terms of national audience and nationalized the first time, you probably want it to be a Bills game, whereas a concert, you're not going to have to worry about it streaming elsewhere. I just know that some of these newer stadiums, when they first open up, that's what a lot of the what the WWE does, is they go there. Allegiant Stadium, when that opened up a few years ago, they had a big pay-per-view, or they've had a few there since then. So it's just something on the radar. A summer event would be kind of cool to do and consider, but if they don't want it to be something that's broadcast, then a concert's the right play.
Now my brain is working. I'm trying to think of who. I mean, impossible to know what the world looks like in 2026. But
something, Billy Joel, something mainstream where
too old.
No,
too old.
Too old.
Too old. Too old. I think it's too old.
Paul McCartney.
Too old. Need something more. I'm thinking like a Taylor Swift kind of artist. But I don't know that she's touring, and I don't know that that's going to... But that kind of, you know, guaranteed sellout, like, where you could do... I mean, Luke Bryan sold that place out two nights in a row. That's a younger artist that sold out Highmark Stadium. Two nights at Highmark Stadium. They'll find somebody. I just don't know that it's going to be a country star. I don't know what the world looks like in 2026, but the concert route would be interesting.
No, I agree completely, and you're right. Who knows who will be the hot artist at that point in time, but I'm sure the Bills are already doing the legwork and the footwork. Like you said, that stadium, the way they were able to get that put together and put up was pretty phenomenal. It felt like every week that the Bills had a home game this past year, you'd look across the street and you'd say, man, they've made a ton of progress just in the last week or 2 weeks, however many weeks went between games. And now they're saying the last piece of steel is being assembled, I think, this upcoming week, or maybe early. It's in early April. They have made great timing on this. There's not going to be any delays, it seems like. So kudos to them for getting this done and ready, so that way when the Bills kick off, not this upcoming season, but the following year, that new stadium is going to be ready to go.
Ryan, day late in saying this. Happy birthday, bud. How was it with the family?
Hey, thank you. It was great. We had a great birthday with some friends and family.
32. I mean, it's just
crazy.
And you feel like when we were nursing you when you first come into the sports bar.
Yeah.
Great having you on with us, man. What are you working on this week on the Shout podcast and at Syracuse.com that we can check out?
Yeah, keeping an eye on draft prospects. We're starting to get some information on Zooms and things like that. I'll do another mock draft in the next few weeks. Matt is on the ground in Florida for the owners' meeting, so he was there for the Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott talks. We'll have some more fallout from that. And then we're going to start getting ready for the draft, which is sneaking up on us less than a month away. We have a live show at Wingnuts the week before. We have a live show at Turning Stone Casino the night of the draft, night one. So we're excited about that too. So we're just kind of getting ready for all those big events coming up.
Yeah. Fantastic. Love it. Love all of it, Ryan. Thanks for making time for us and getting caught up. We'll do it again real soon.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks.
There's Ryan Talbot, Syracuse.com, covering the Buffalo Bills from NewYorkUpstate.com and the Shout podcast.
Because you can find any concert playlist online for fun. So Frontier Field, which is now Innovative Field, opened up July 11th, 1996 with the Beach Boys. And here's their set list, which was finished off by Surf and Safari, Surf City, Surfing USA.
So I have an unconscious bias towards the Beach Boys. I hate the Beach Boys. And not because I don't think they're talented or their songs aren't good. I am emotionally scarred from the Beach Boys because when I was in grade school, you know, every year they do like the thing where you got to go up on stage and do a dance or do, you know, sing a song or do something like that for talent show or whatever it is. So as a class, we did Surf and Safari, and the teacher's like, oh, it'd be so cute if everybody just dresses in their, you know, their beach wear and their whole,
I live in Minnesota. I don't have any beach. What are you talking about beach? What is a beach? We're up here in the frigid cold of northern Minnesota, and we had to do a routine to that song, Surfin' Safari. And dude, let me tell you, I heard that song so many times through the course of that. It scarred me. It scarred me for life. I never want to hear the Beach Boys. I am out on the Beach Boys.
Surfer Girl is another one they played.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Don't want it. Don't want anything to do with it. No disrespect. No disrespect.
Oh, who cares?
But I know they're talented. I know their music is beloved. Not for me. Not for me, pal. It conjures up nightmares. Just I was so against being on stage and doing that song and dance as a second grader or third grader or whatever it was. Just scarred me in grade school.
I guess. Because you put some thought into that. Anybody's got any suggestions? The Fan Rochester, like what concert should open up that stadium? Danger, it's got to be something that appeals to like every generation, right? It can't just be Gen X. It can't be just boomers.
It's gotta agree. It's got to be a mass appeal, massive artists. Like in Los Angeles, they opened up the Clippers Dome, the new Intuit Dome?
Intuit Dome.
They opened that up with Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars. Like, that's a pretty good show. That's a pretty good show, and I think you get a lot of people to come out for that. Now, it depends what, you think, what do you think Buffalonians would come out to? I think more than anything, they're going to come out because it's the new venue.
Correct.
And the artist is almost secondary, so you can't hit them with something too hard. Like, you can't say, hey, Metallica's got to be there, because that'll turn a lot of people off. Not a lot of people are into that.
I would think... And just hear me out. Isn't like one of the benefits, and I'm not pitching this, folks, but if you're going to invest in the PSL, you don't have to go through the rigmarole of refresh. I'm trying to get a concert ticket. Hey, do you want to buy your seat or not for this concert? Isn't that the way it's supposed to
work? I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so wouldn't you want to kind of give an example like, hey, we're going to open up with this artist coming up in June 2026. And you know what? If you're a PSL owner... You want to buy the ticket? Great. You don't have to worry about, jumping through hoops online.
Right. Yes. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. Or you buy the ticket and
flip it.
Flip it in the secondary market. But that'll be a memorable night, whoever the artist is that they decide, whatever the event is. I do like the WWE idea, though. I think that I don't know that it'll fly. I don't know that they would do that.
Not a chance in hell. No way the NFL would be like, oh, we're going to open up with a competitor?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nutsy by Terry Pegula. That would show some, that would be a big middle finger to Goodell and everybody at the NFL.
How about
and Jerry?
We book a Yacht Rock review. What do you think? A little Steely Dan, Michael McDonald. Does not appeal to everyone.
No. William Hung. We'll get William Hung. Doesn't matter who's going.
Didn't you meet him? Didn't he come to a summer jam?
Yeah, we had William Hung at a summer. Here's my quick William Hung story. William Hung, couple things when he came to PX West Summer Jam. If you don't remember William Hung,
right.
American Idol, you know that show. Some of you may not, but it was in the early 2000s was the show. It must see TV every week. You had to know who your American Idol was going to be. Kelly Clarkson year one, Carrie Underwood was in there. And, along the way, it became cool to showcase somebody who didn't really have talent but wanted to be at the audition anyways to try and wow or get the attention of the judges. And William Hung was really the first guy. Remember the pants on the ground guy was another guy, but William Hung was the original. And he would go up and do his audition, and he would do Shebangs by Ricky Martin, and he had a whole dance with it and the whole thing. And he didn't, he wasn't like a true American Idol contestant. He was just somebody who auditioned, but he went viral before being viral was being viral.
The producers recognized, oh my gosh, this is so bad, it's great. I don't know in this day and age if you did something like that, even if they signed off on it.
But everybody does it every day on social media now. Yeah. There's a million William Hungs on social media in the world that we live in today, but William Hung was one of the first ones to kind of go viral for being awkward and, just bad. So we got him to come to a PXY Summer Jam at Innovative Field, back then Frontier Field, and he called me. He had my cell, and he called me, and he said, Mike, it's William. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, William Hung. I go, yeah, I gathered William Hung. I knew it was you. What's up? His mom, I guess,
smashed her hand in the van as she was closing the van.
Oh.
Like she hurt her hand at Summer Jam. And I also remember, and I can't remember which, it might have been at one of the Webster schools, had the cheerleading squad up on stage when he performed She Bangs in front of thousands and thousands of people.
So wait, you had to take William Hung's mom to like,
I don't know what we ended up doing with her. He just basically called me just to check in and say, yeah, we're here. And my mom smashed her hand in the door. I don't know what happened. I'm like, okay, cool. Everything's running on time. The trains are on the tracks, except for William Hung's mom's hand. Aside from that, everything went off without a hitch. It doesn't really matter who shows up. I think no matter what, it's going to sell out. But you get a bigger name. You see who's on tour next year and work out a little new Highmark tour date on there as well. Appreciate Ryan Talbot stopping by and sharing his thoughts on the owners' meetings, these rule changes. We're going to get more into that here with Happy Hour on the way next on The Fan. You can join the sports bar. Our lines are open at 866-4FAN. 866-4326. Sean McDermott speaking about that tush-push rule proposal. Brandon Bean talking about James Cook not negotiating a deal with him in this window. The window is closed right now to negotiate a deal with James Cook. Lots to unpack from what we've heard over the last 24, 48 hours from Florida and the NFL owners' meetings. On the way next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.